are we doing?" John asked in hushed tones. They were standing in the corridor behind the room where the Kays were about to make their appeal to the kidnapper of their son. Through the small windows in the door, John could make out the assembled press and media in the room beyond. TV cameras from local and national news organizations were set out around the edges, while reporters took up position on the seats in the middle of the room, checking over their notes and making sure their equipment was working as it should. "Looks like we're all ready," Kate said. "Debbie said we can go in whenever the Kays want." John nodded. The final choice was down to them, really. They would be the ones making the appeal after all, but they'd already been through so much today that he wouldn't blame them if they didn't want to go out there and put their grief and emotion on display for the whole world to see. These things could blow up into huge deals with a global audience or just fizzle and die as little more than a byline. There was no telling how any one case might go and if it would have a happy ending or not. But this case was unusual, which, as macabre as it sounded, he hoped would garner it some additional attention. He felt sure the press would be interested in the case of a former kidnapped victim whose son had been taken and whose kidnapper was still at large.
"Okay.
And if they back out?" Kate asked.
"I'll do it alone. The public need to know."
Kate nodded.
"Well, no time like the present," John said, and with a parting smile walked back to the room where the Kays were waiting and walked in. "Are you ready?"
John could feel the tension and emotion in the room. Things were strained between them as they blamed one another for the loss of their son. He understood Emily's reasoning for keeping things quiet, but part of him didn't quite believe her. There was something more to it than just not wanting to dredge up the past or cause her partner grief. He couldn't say what, but there was something there. Was it something to do with Jake? They'd need to track him down and have a word with him, Travis also. Both were potential suspects, and both of them had a record with the police. But, for now, they could wait, because getting the word out was by far the most important thing for them to do.
"It's time," he said, keeping his voice even as he looked back and forth between the two adults.
They were sitting on separate sofas, but as Darryl got up, he looked over at Emily. "Hey," he began and walked over to her. "Look, I'm sorry, we all make mistakes. I understand why you did it. And I know you wouldn't want to put Milo in harm's way."
"No, of course not," Emily agreed as fresh tears fell from her eyes.
"I know, so let's put all that behind us. It can't be changed now anyway, so it's pointless worrying about it. What's done is done, right?"
"Right,"
Emily agreed. "Come here," Darryl said and pulled her in for a hug. She hugged him back, hesitantly.
"I'm sorry," Emily said.
"That's okay," Darryl replied. John gave them a moment and then coughed.
"Shall we?"
Taking Emily's hand, Darryl led her out of the back room and followed John along the corridor towards the media room. They stopped just outside while Emily dabbed her eyes with a tissue.
"You have your speech?"
Darryl checked his pocket and nodded.
"Yep."
"Excellent. Let's do this," he said. "Be ready. You're about to have a lot of photos taken of you."
"I've seen these things on TV before," Darryl said as he reached for Emily's hand. "Let's get it over with."
"All right."
John opened the door. Cameras clicked, their flashes firing like crazy, strobing the room in light as the assembled reporters called out. John ignored them and focused on the Kays, making sure they were seated and comfortable before he turned to the assembled media. It was a formidable sea of faces, all looking at the people behind the table expectantly, waiting for the juicy morsels that would tumble from their mouths. In the crowd, he spotted a few faces he recognized from previous cases, such as Chester Longstaff, the Surrey reporter who'd bothered Kate a few times on previous cases. The hubbub died away as John waited until silence reigned.
"Thank you for coming today. My name is Detective Chief Inspector John Pilgrim. Earlier today, 8-year-old Milo Kay, a resident of Epsom, went missing and is presumed kidnapped."
Beside him, a TV displayed a photo of young Milo, smiling at the camera in happier times. Cameras started snapping away, capturing the boy's innocent face beside the haggard visages of the parents.